everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I hope you're on your big comfy couch or comfortable wherever you're sitting in your big comfy loose sweatpants after all of the food you ate at Thanksgiving. Holy cannolis, I still have pie left in my fridge. So I guess I know what my snacky's gonna be tonight, a little bit of apple pie with some whipped cream with my beverage of choice, which is of course my big cup of coffee. And I hope you had a blessed, beautiful holiday and were able to have some quality time with friends and family without any drama, with nobody fighting about politics. And if you're like me, you're going to make a conscious effort to get a little more exercise this week because we're rolling up on the holiday season, feeling like the new float at the Thanksgiving Day Parade, which I don't watch anymore because I can't stand all of the LGBTQ stuff that's in it. I miss the old days of the normal commentators that just had a great sense of humor and were happy and funny and sparkly and laughing without all of the drag stuff. I just can't. I tried tuning in a few minutes of it this year, and it's just not the same. I miss the floats. I miss the magic that used to be the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, the excitement and the floats and Snoopy, and it's just not the same for me anymore. So, maybe I'll go back to watching a few minutes here or there next year, but I just didn't have the patience for it this year. How many of you out there feel like that? Like it's just not the same with all of that nonsense that they've thrown in there? And did you watch any football? What did you do to enjoy your special day? I, for one, got a little sad because the holidays coming means also the rockin' New Year's Eve with Dick Clark is no longer, and I don't watch the New Year's Eve special anymore either. I watch the ball drop because, same thing, I just can't watch the insanity that they're pushing down our throats as what they want us to believe is normalcy. But I did wear my first annual WKRP in Cincinnati turkey drop shirt, which got a lot of laughs. I love that episode. Bro, Les Nessman is out there reporting like it's the apocalypse, turkeys free-falling, like they missed the rapture. The man literally said, "As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly." Same energy as half the people in power right now, just confidently wrong about physics, biology, and basic life. Even economics, you name it. Half the country is Les Nessman now. But anyway, grab your beverage, get your snacky, get comfortable, and let's jump into this week's Clippies like it's the giant mashed potato volcano mountain from Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Throw caution to the wind and let's have some fun and learn some things. Make sure that you have some antacid nearby, though, because some of these clippies are going to get you a little bit edgy. We're going to talk about Trump and the AutoPen mass extinction event. He steps up and basically goes, "Yeah, every executive order signed with that robot pen, gone." Poof. Thanos snapped. The AutoPen's been doing more work than Congress. And Trump's like, "Nah, we're not being governed by Wall-E." The AutoPen is somewhere in a White House drawer right now, traumatized, whispering, "I just wanted to help." Or maybe that's the people that use the pen to sign Biden's name, because pretty much everybody knows it wasn't Biden. And Trump's come out with that too. If Biden tries to say that it was him, he's going to have him up on perjury charges. So this could get interesting. I mean, Lindy Lee came out on Sean Ryan many months ago and said that his staff was running his office and that his biggest task of the day, Joe's that is, was to watch Morning Joe. Yeah, that's what he did. That and probably ate a lot of ice cream. I wonder if he had the same supplier as Pelosi. I got from Mammonette, Dixie Cups, all flavors and push-ups too. While your eyes remain, baby, stop me when I'm passing by. And we're going to talk a bit about the great dinosaur juice oil theory. This debate about whether oil is from dinosaurs or the earth just auto-generates it like it's a Keurig on echo mode. So many coffee references. But I'm sitting here like, tell me why gas prices feel like they do come from dinosaurs that personally negotiated their union fees. Prices are so high. And I got a clippy about chemtrails. Look up at the sky these days. It's like giving the DIY metallic art project vibes. We're out here. I mean, I'm out here. Hope that you're out here too doing the same thing, but buying the air purifiers, cleansing the house, clinking two new forks like cosmic wind chimes, and above us, the sky is sprinkling bonus, but in a bad way, content. And the cold truth, nobody's stopping it. We can't even get the DMV to answer a phone call. You'd think they're gonna shut down Project Glitter Cloud? Anyone who knows me knows how much I love shiny, but not when I'm ingesting blasting it into my lungs. At this point, the atmosphere is a malfunctioning Walmart confetti cannon. We gotta do something about this, folks. And then I have a clippy about a new life form scientists found in the body. They're like, we discovered a new microscopic organism. And everybody else is like, great, another thing to be allergic to. With all the stuff that was in the jabby jab and they're pouring down the skies onto us, it's like, yeah, cool, add it to the roster. Our internal organs are basically an Airbnb nobody approved. Random entities checking in, leaving reviews, vibing. Of course, my cannolis don't have any entities because they know how to protect themselves, and they are what?
Savvy.
You know it. Speaking of foreign energies in our bodies, I also have a clippy about the gluten intolerance thing that's become so prevalent in society. Bread used to be humble, blessed even. Medieval peasants were out there making barley bricks for breakfast and felt fine. Now you nibble a bagel and your stomach files a complaint with the HR department. By the time you get through that first big taste of cream cheese, you're either itching like you got fleas or your belly's bloated like a basketball. What's up with that? We'll find out. And since we're on the topic of food, what happened with Campbell's this week, huh? Did you hear about that? The executive on Hot Mic tells us that we're poor. Only people that are poor buy Campbell's food. I mean, dude, you sell soup in a can. Relax over there. It's not like it's caviar or anything, big shot. Then he admits the chicken is 3D printed, so now our soup is glitching. At Campbell's, we proudly serve polygon poultry, Minecraft Lunchables, and PC nuggets. Their new motto should be at Campbell's, we believe in innovation. Why raise a chicken when you can control P1? I have a couple clippies about kids that are absolutely gonna blow your mind. Kids over 13 should be able to make their own mental health decisions, one jerk says this week. 13. These are the same kids who forget their Chromebook at school every single day and think Takis count as breakfast food, and you trust them with psychiatric logistics? And in another clippy, a school put a girl in a room and in the same bed as a boy that identified as a female. This wasn't about identity. This was Olympic level stupidity. It was on a school field trip and they neglected to tell that girl's parents. This one's gonna make your blood boil, but I have questions on that one. See what you think when you listen to it. I mean, it seems like every teenager on the face of the planet has a phone. Wouldn't that girl have had the wherewithal to call her parents and have them have the child moved to a different room or a separate room? These kids have the wherewithal to call their folks and tell them to bring home Chipotle for dinner or that they want money. Seems kind of strange that she didn't call her folks. But that's what we're dealing with here, the mental capacity or rather incapacity of the planet. These children that have this anxiety and maybe she was afraid that she was going to get ostracized by the rest of the class because she wasn't accepting the situation. Whatever the parameters there, you listen to it and see what you think. Me personally, anybody tried to do that to me? And I would have demanded that they put me in a separate room or move that other person. And if they said there weren't enough rooms, I would grab the teacher's room and let the teachers figure it out. What, were they concerned about an adult sleeping in the same room as a child, but not a person that identifies as a male sleeping in the same bed as a young girl? It's another example of their rights overshadowing our rights. Thank goodness that was not my child. But then again, my child would have the wherewithal to refuse that encounter and call me to come get them or have the situation changed. As I bet would my listeners' kids, because they are what?
Savvy.
You betcha. I've got another clippy about New York this week, but this one in particular is about New York overhauling their driver point system. New York's like, we're updating the point system. Translation, they found a new way to say, give us your money. Pretty soon you'll get 3 points for thinking about speeding, 5 points for sighing in traffic, and 10 points if you blink aggressively near a state trooper. I've got a triple shot of Trumpy clippies. And then there's the girl who said illegal immigrants should be prioritized over veterans. And she said it with the confidence of somebody who failed civics twice and still wants to teach it. Got another clippy of a group of teens who cannot add in their heads. That's from Gen X Jono, who I love anyway. Teachers are like, what's 8 plus 7? The kids are like, hold up, let me open my calculator app. Wait, my phone's dead. Instead of PEMDAS, they've got PTSD from math homework. We really raised a generation that can spot a 0.3 second TikTok splice, but can't add numbers smaller than their screen time. Honestly, it seems like every everything right now has WKRP turkey drop vibes. People in charge running around yelling, "As God is my witness, I thought society could fly." And since I mentioned TikTok videos and, you know, people posting, I have one I wanted to play last week, but I ran out of time. Check this out. This guy's funny, but he's encouraging people to shame their families on social media for everybody else's enjoyment, because that's what it's all about now, right? Likes and number of views? Sending your family videos viral and maybe making some money on the deal while you're at it? Here's Davey87DP to start off our clippies.
If your family starts fighting this Thanksgiving, go live. Yeah, don't you dare keep that drama to yourself. You know how boring other people's holidays are? We're out here eating stuffing in silence, okay? Give us some content. If Aunt Linda brings up politics, hit that go live. Right, if your cousin announces a pregnancy nobody asked for, please hit that go live, okay? If the mac and cheese comes out runny and a riot starts, go live now. We need it, okay? Your family doesn't know how iconic they are, okay? They're out here doing full reality TV with no cameras rolling. That's selfish. Share the chaos. We deserve it, all right? And don't record sideways. Give us HD, good angles, proper lighting. Let me see the tension, okay? Let me feel the generational trauma. Okay, if your uncle storms out, follow him. If your grandma says, "I'm not naming names," start zooming in. That's your moment, okay? If someone brings up, you know, who didn't bring anything, capture it, okay? This is the Super Bowl of family dysfunction, okay? Don't fumble the bag, because honestly, your family's fight is half the reason anyone opens social media on Thanksgiving anyway.
I guess remember that at Christmas time. I have some other topics to educate you and entertain you as well, so let's get right into it. First, let's start off with one from Scott Lubick. He's the one I played the clip of last week about the lead paint and how to have privacy from the government spying. This one's about copper paint. I'd really like some of your opinions on this, so let me know if you think this is legitimate. It's kind of along the lines of the blue roof theories in Hawaii with the directed energy weapons, but that got debunked. So what do you think?
How to go completely off-grid when you live downtown, protecting and restoring your privacy. This is bottom paint for the boat. Let me explain. Your router bounces RF off of your walls, mapping the inside of your house, and that's exactly how they know exactly where you're standing, what you're talking about, turning things on and off, listening, eavesdropping. This paint right here, metallic copper equivalent, 21%. You paint this on your interior walls and your house will be ghost. So if you want to protect your family from all EMF, RF, and 5G radiation, this composite copper technology from West Marine, this is a great workaround for lead-based paint. If you can't find lead-based paint online and you want to just go ghost, you'll absolutely disappear as soon as you walk into your house.
Let's continue on with two more clippies for a triple shot of a privacy segment. The first one is from Gentleman of Luck about protecting your private property. And the second is from Brandon Adams 076.
Right to private property is not a vague economic theory. The founders of this country knew that a free people could not remain free if the government controlled where they lived and what they could do on their property. The right to private property is the right to be secure in what you have earned and the right of the individual to determine who has access. And that is why the Fourth Amendment is so important. It clearly states that the government cannot come on your property without due process that has been reviewed by a judge. And that's not a legal loophole. That is the defense against government overreach. And yet today, we see EGLE claiming that they have that authority to come onto private property without a warrant. If a state agency can come onto your property without judicial oversight and issue orders, then private property itself becomes a privilege. It becomes conditional as granted by the government instead of a right protected by the Constitution. That is simply not the Michigan that we believe in, and it is certainly not the America that we have been promised in the Constitution. The Constitution is not impeding progress. It is the compass that keeps us on the right path. And I hope today that my colleagues join me in honoring that amazing document, and I hope they join me in fulfilling our oath to that document, and I hope they join me in voting yes on 4421 to protect private property rights.
Protecting and restoring your privacy and protecting your family.
They are not illegal firearms, okay? They're not. They are undocumented weapons living in sanctuary homes. If y'all can do it, we can do it too. That's all.
I like the way he thinks. The next two clippies are the two we spoke about children, first from Miss Mischief 09 and second from Libs of TikTok official who borrows from Fox News.
Hey, Senator Jamie Peterson, this is just incredible. Listen here.
Kids over 13 have the complete right to make their own decisions about their mental health care. Parents don't have a right to have notice. They don't have a right to have consent about that.
Is that really what they think?
Young women have, if they're old enough to get pregnant, they're old enough to make their own decisions about what happens with their bodies, okay? And parents do not have the right to change that or make a different decision or be notified in advance.
It's released a statement saying the district's policy of rooming students by gender identity rather than sex without prior notice or a sex-separated alternative violates the family's free exercise, bodily privacy, and parental rights. The school has not responded to Fox's request for comments. I mean, if you think about all of the crazy things that happen in this world, Guy, that's got to be right up near the top.
It's insane. Right, here's a young girl who's on an overnight school trip who finds out in the moment that not only is she sharing a room with someone with male genitalia, she is in a bed with that person. And the parents aren't told about any of this. I mean, that is wild. You can have different views on trans adults and say everyone should be treated with dignity, etc. These are kids. This is a school setting. This is absolutely insane. I have no idea who would defend this or how. I think no comment from the school is not going to cut it. Certainly in response to a lawsuit that they have quite clearly invited and brought on themselves. And by the way, if you want to have some sort of accommodation for a student who identifies as trans at that age, I think you can probably get that person his or her own room. But putting that person into a sex-segregated bed with a girl is just completely unacceptable.
Okay, jumping into the Trumpy triple clippies. The first one is from Kay Benet. She's explaining Trump and some of his actions from her perspective, followed by another by Gentleman of Luck and Miss Mischief 09.
I was put here by people to do a great job, and that's what I'm doing. And nobody's done a job like I've done.
I'm gonna be messy, but since you picked up the phone, you got to be messy with me. Them the rules, I didn't make them. Maybe I did, but listen, be messy with me. Did y'all see that power play that Donald John Quavius pulled in the White House by making Zoolander mom and daddy come from New York and come to the White House? And he made him stand up while he sat down. And when the reporter said, didn't you call Donald John Quavius a fascist? He was about to give a word salad and, you know, try to backtrack. But Donald John Quavius said, it's all right, you can say yes. And then he popped him on the hand, like as to say, good boy. Oh, my checkmate. Listen. New Yorkers who voted for him because y'all thought y'all was finna get a whole bunch of free shit through other people, y'all finna be mad, ain't it? Mm-hmm. You didn't think about the fact that Zoolander mom and daddy is a billionaire. Y'all keep falling for the same shit. Listen, nursing people, students and nurses, fear not. You're still considered a professional. They're just changing the verbiage because these are the first steps in lowering the costs of your education at these colleges and universities who have been fleecing you for decades, okay? Y'all ain't never just look at the breakdown of what they was charging you. They charging you an administrative fee, and you the one doing all the administrative work. You the one filling out all your own damn paperwork and sending it in. So why you don't look at stuff like that? Right. We trying to cut all that shit out. So don't worry. You're still considered a professional. He doesn't hate women. He's not trying to diminish your accomplishments. Ain't no shit like that, child. Just let them do what they do so they can fix this shit, all right? Because America is in a pile of shit when it comes to healthcare and education, all right? Let them fix it. Now, Waleed Faris, okay, I'm going to have to read some of this stuff because, you know, I don't want to get it wrong. A foreign policy analyst, right? He says that the Muslim Brotherhood's decades-long effort to infiltrate the U.S. is now visible. How does he know? Because he experienced it before he immigrated from the Middle East. Yeah, he says the same playbook. They're coming over here doing the same thing that they did over there. They're infiltrating it and pretty much trying to make it a whole Islamist region or whatever. But y'all asses want to appear so virtuous and inclusive that when people try to tell you, hey, we need some kind of policy, y'all want to get all mad and say that they're bigots and call them all out that and racist and all this other stuff. And now y'all fake ass is going to be praying to a God you probably don't even believe in. But that's good for you. Serves you right, okay? And miss me with all the fake ass. You know, what about Jesus? Jesus was the... Apparently, you didn't read your Bible. Because heaven got a real strict immigration policy, baby. They got a whole boatload of rules that you got to follow before you get in there. And you can't sneak in now. You can try, but in hell, thou shalt lift up thine eyes. So you take that up with the big man when it comes down to that. Anyway, listen, let me tell you something. People who, you know, think that you're going to infiltrate.
The reason that Donald Trump decided to bomb Iran was that the Israelis said, if you don't bomb Iran to take out these deep bunkers, we're going to use nuclear weapons. And they had never threatened that before. And so Trump said, bombing Iran might actually save us from the start of World War III if it keeps the Israelis from using nuclear weapons.
So according to your source, the Israelis told the President of the United States that if he did not use the United States military power to bomb the nuclear facilities in Iran, Israel, acting on its own, would use nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
Do you see why there's a problem with that statement, John?
Yeah.
Because they've never fucking admitted that they've had them.
That's right.
So you're telling me that they just admitted to the President of the United States that they have nuclear weapons and
well,
we still do not have them in the IAEA treaty?
I mean, if Israeli nuclear whistleblowers are to be believed, yeah, they started working on them in the 50s. They got them around the late 60s or the early 70s.
I'm with you, the American people.
What he posted, he said, quote, any document signed by Sleepy Joe Biden with the AutoPed, which was approximately 92% of them, is hereby terminated and of no further force or effect. He says the AutoPen is not allowed to be used if approval is not specifically given by the President of the United States. He also says in that post, quote, I am hereby canceling all executive orders and anything else that was not directly signed by Crooked Joe Biden because the people who operated the AutoPen did so illegally. He goes on to say in that post, Joe Biden was not involved in the AutoPen process, and if he says he was, he'll be brought up on charges of perjury. He says, thank you for your attention to this matter. Of course, this was just posted moments ago to Truth Social. Again, the president, as we know, following him, is at the golf course. So, of course, we're hoping to confirm and get any more information about this. Celicia.
My pappy used to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it is broke, get a hold of Maggie Hart at Maggie_HEART at outlook.com to get it fixed.
I'm going to play one more Trump-related video. This is from the real Cindy Alexis and her perspective as to what he's doing with the AutoPen. And there's validity in this. There's some meat on this, but there are also some other factors at play. I have my own personal thoughts on this. Let's wait and see what happens.
Donald Trump announcing he is going to terminate all of Joe Biden's AutoPens. This is spectacular, and I'm going to tell you why. The media is all over this already. They're like, he can't do that, right? But what if he does? Well, the Democrats have two choices. They can either allow him to do it and admit that Joe Biden was not of his right mind and capable of running the country, or they can sue him to say, you can't do that. And of course, President Trump is anticipating them to sue him. But here's what happens when they do. Donald Trump and the DOJ now become privy to discovery, testimony, internal logs, medical records, staff communications, AutoPen records, all of it under oath. Discovery. It's epic. It's a honey trap. So witnesses are going to be asked, who was running the White House? Were presidential duties done outside of the scope of the actual president of the United States? And they're forced to answer, because otherwise it's fraud, it's perjury. And if the courts rule that the auto pen was invalid based on the testimony, then all executive orders are nullified, all military direction nullified, agency actions, legislative signature. It would basically erase Joe Biden's entire presidency. And this would be the biggest scandal in our lifetimes. This is an absolute honey trap. It is a win-win situation. And this is epic.
Sounds like Panic at the Disco for some liberals, possibly. You know they're losing their minds over this. And they'll do everything that they can to block it. But I bet you that Panic on the Hill is like the WKRP turkey drop.
A dark object. Perhaps a skydiver. Plummeting into the earth from only 2,000 feet in the air.
Let's kick off our conspiracy theory time with This Is Radio Free, Gentlemen of Luck, and Conscious Awakening to start it off.
It is the second most prevalent liquid on Earth. Putting a price on oil is like putting a price on a pail of water. You know, no initial cost. It's in the ground. And in those days, they were, some of it, almost what you'd call surface mining the oil. They didn't go down deep. So in order to get the price up, they hit on the idea that they would have to make it appear to be scarce. That after we take the next few barrels out, we're probably going to have to close as well. You know, that kind of thing. But a very fortuitous event. In 1892, there was a convention in Geneva of scientists to determine what organic substances are. At this Geneva convention, Rockefeller took advantage of sending some scientists over. They defined oil as a residue from formerly living matter. Well, that makes it a fossil fuel. I don't know why they decided to use the word fossil, but it says formerly living matter is fossil. And another thing we should know is that there has never been a fossil, a real fossil, found below 16,000 feet. We mine oil, or we drill for oil, at 30,000, 33,000, 28,000 every day of the week. So right there, we rule it out that it isn't fossil fuel. It's called fossil fuel for the minds of the public to feel that it is an asset that is running out, being depleted. We talk about depletion allowance, which is a lot of, you know. And actually, if you know the world's oil supply, you know that it is not going to run out for an awfully long time. What bothers me is that in geology books, it's in there. The geologists say it's a fossil fuel. They've been bought to create a world price for oil. In other words, not 30 cents a gallon here and 90 cents a gallon there, but let's get a world price. That's their goal.
And up through the ground come a bubble in crude. Oil, that is, black gold, Texas tea.
So you think the Jews are the ones controlling the world? Well, you're not entirely wrong. But what if I told you there are families that are even more powerful who are enslaving humanity, and the Jews are their fall guy? So who is the hidden hand? Well, that would be the 13 families that control the Vatican, Jesuits, and the Knights of Malta. Pope Boniface VIII created the Unum Sanctum Papal Bull, which is an express trust claiming all the souls on this planet. The most powerful and elite families today are the Farnese and the Orsini bloodlines. For reference, the Rothschilds come from the Farnese bloodline, and Queen Elizabeth comes from the Orsini bloodline. The gray pope, who holds the most power in the Vatican and controls the white pope and all the black popes,
is Pepe Orsini. The Medici family controls the media and medicine, shocking, based on their name. And the Colonna bloodline is where Christopher Columbus is from. And it's also the family that controls the District of Columbia. Are you seeing the pattern yet? All U.S. presidents also have ties to these bloodlines or the Jesuits. The money, the banks, the government, they all tie back to these ancient and elite Italian and Persian bloodline. All modern religions were created and controlled by these powerful families as well, whether it's Islam, Judaism, or Christianity. These religions that used to be more scientific and literally based have become perverted by Babylonian occultists who worship Saturn. Baptism, communion, circumcision, when you really look at them objectively, they're occult rituals. When you start to truly unravel the dark forces behind every war, atrocity, and inquisition, they always tie back to these satanic murderers who practice black magic, pedophilia, and human sacrifice. These are the families that are truly behind the New World Order agenda, and they're trying to create World War III between the Muslims and the Jews. It's a giant ritual sacrifice. When you look to DC, all you see are Roman structures, and it shows you who's truly behind all of the atrocities in our world and our government. Our country has been controlled by Rome since its inception. So while Judaism and Zionism have become satanic cults, when we only focus on them, we're only playing into the hands of the people behind them who are even worse. Stop letting them operate in the shadows, or else you're just furthering their agenda.
What do we have now? We now know with peer-reviewed study that bees are testing with 70 times more aluminum in their system than what it takes to cause Alzheimer's or dementia in a human being. It's a wonder any of them are alive. 70 times more. And this is important as well. When you have somebody from some agency who's paid to lie, who tells you it's normal to have aluminum everywhere because it's a very abundant element, that is a lie of inaccuracy. Aluminum is very abundant in the environment, yes. But it does not exist in the environment in free form. It doesn't exist in free form. It must be mined and refined and sprayed for it to be scattered everywhere in the environment, and that's exactly what's happening. It's not just the bees that are dying. Every single one of us is being contaminated. These materials are bioavailable. They're building up in our systems, and it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It doesn't matter. It's a fact. We have the lab test to prove it. There will be no hiding this issue much longer. And what does it appear? The chemical signature for what's showing up in rain tests matches coal fly ash, a substance that the EPA has told us is not harmful. They've been trying desperately to get rid of, and it seems to suit the purposes for geoengineering. And evidence is increasingly indicating that toxic coal fly ash may be one of the base materials they're using to spray because it gives them plausible deniability.
I also threw in a surprise clippy there, The Ballad of Jed Clampett by Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs with vocals by Jerry Scoggins. The next two clips to finish out our conspiracy theory segment are from Conspiracy Collective and the Glyphosate Girl.
This one's gonna get a little weird. So I'm just gonna start this by saying this is for entertainment value only and holds no educational value whatsoever. It's just, you know, for fun. Check this out. This came out back in August. A new life form found hiding inside the human body. They're calling them obelisks. It was actually discovered last year, but they had no idea what it was.
A new type of microscopic organism has been found in the human gut. These newly discovered organisms are called obelisks, and they are made up of tiny rings of genetic material. Obelisks can create their own proteins that are entirely new to science. Named their proteins oblins. Scientists are still figuring out what these proteins do and how obelisks interact with other organisms.
Now, they still don't know exactly what this is, but they're saying it's a virus-like life form that exists inside our mouth and our guts. And what's really interesting is these life forms are made up of tiny bits of RNA. Now, if you don't know exactly what RNA is, it's a little hard to explain. but it's basically the messenger for DNA to help control the synthesis of proteins. But for this video, we're paying attention to the fact that RNA is basically the DNA for viruses. Matter of fact, RNA is actually the source of a lot of different viruses. Here's a partial list for you. And if you're like me, you'll notice some of these have a common denominator between them. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, here's your hint. But anyway, RNA has actually been used for a lot of different things here recently. One being the evolution of certain medicines. Well, what's really interesting about that is that the programmable and self-assembling properties of the RNA is actually being used to create nanobots. I don't know about you, but that sure does make some of those crazy conspiracies not look so crazy after all. Especially since now we have life forms living inside of us that nobody knows what they are. Y'all stay safe.
It's strange. Why can we suddenly not tolerate gluten as a society? I went to the Columbia University. It was a conference symposium on celiac and gluten sensitivity with a bunch of researchers and physicians. And they're talking, well, we don't know what it is that's causing this gluten sensitivity rise. I went up to the microphone and I said, do they spray Roundup on the grain? The herbicide Roundup. Doctors and researchers turned around and looked at me, they're like, they don't spray Roundup. That would kill it. And I was like, okay. And I went and I sat down. A scientist from General Mills was there to promote their gluten-free Cheerios. So he found me and he said, yeah, they're spraying Roundup on a lot of the grains. We know there's a problem. It's going to take 2 decades to reverse. Okay. Like 2 decades. I said, well, everyone's going to be gluten sensitive or intolerant and maybe dead because people are getting sick from this. And who did I call up? So I'm reading through PubMed, like, okay, what research is there? And I came across Stephanie Seneff's research and Anthony Samsel, her partner. And I called her up and she's like, come visit me if you're in Boston. I was in Boston. I went and sat down with her and she was like, let me tell you, and like laid it all out. And it really sent me on a huge path of glyphosate, which I'm still working on today.
On my old Positude podcast, back when I had 1 million viewers, I used to share a recipe of mine every week. But I came across this one from Revy's Kitchen, and I thought, I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there because it looked like a really good, simple recipe. However, coming off of the gluten clippy before that, I might want to suggest to all of you to find a gluten-free flour to use for this recipe or use the ancient grains before it was modified. There are ones that you can buy online, like Icorn and Emmer. Because sometimes if you substitute gluten-free flour for these recipes, they don't come out exactly the same. So maybe you might like to do that too. Google a gluten-free flour recipe for this next wonderful treat that I enjoy on occasion, English muffins. Making my own English muffins again for especially holiday time when family's visiting with my homemade jams and jellies with some nice homemade butter, I thought would be an awesome addition to my breakfast meals. So I thought you might like to try it as well. If this flies and I get positive feedback, I'll be sharing recipes a little bit more regularly and possibly going back to those of mine that I've created, which I'm still working on that cookbook for. I'll get there one of these days. So I'm going to throw a filler in there and in the meantime, find a pen and paper so you'll be ready to write this down should you choose.
If you like Maggie and the sound of her voice and want to keep her airing quality shows, I'd be much obliged if you donate to the network, because those folks are dirt poor and rely on your contributions to keep the lights on.
The entry music, sometimes my halftime music, and the ending music are all provided by my good buddy Pat Carr, a wonderful original musician from Louisiana, now residing in Colorado. You can check him out at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Pat's at AllMusic, Apple Music, YouTube, SoundClick, Spotify, Google Play, iTunes. He is all over the place. Please check him out, support his music, and tell him Maggie sent you.
I'm going to show you how easy it is to make homemade English muffins. They're better than store-bought. 1 cup warm milk, 1 tablespoon sugar, 1 packet active dry yeast. Give it a mix. Let it sit for 10 minutes. Okay, it's been 10 minutes. In my bowl, I have 2 2/3 cup flour, adding 1 teaspoon of salt, 1 1/2 tablespoons melted butter, and the yeast mixture. Mix with a dough hook till it looks like this. Knead a couple minutes by hand, then add it to a greased bowl. Cover and rest for 1 hour. Okay, it's been an hour. Just gonna dump it right out, then just roll it out till it's about 1/2 inch thick. Okay, I have a baking sheet. I'm just gonna sprinkle on some cornmeal. Then I have a round cookie cutter. You can also use the top of a pint glass and place it right on the cornmeal. Sprinkle some more cornmeal on top. Cover and let rest for 30 minutes. Okay, it's been 30 minutes. My skillet is on medium-low. I'm gonna let these toast for about 7 minutes. Should be nice and golden brown on the bottom. I'm just gonna flip and cook for another 5 minutes.
Since we're doing food clippies, I'm gonna jump right into the Toxic Campbell's ones. The first one is from It's Nick Holiday and the second Conspiracy Collective. All of my clippies and dialogue are for entertainment purposes only, right, folks?
People are now boycotting Campbell's soup and Campbell products, throwing away all of their Campbell product after a rant was recorded of an executive not only belittling the customer, saying that this food is for poor people, saying that he himself would not eat this food because it's made with a 3D printer. And now Campbell's soup, which is a company that's been around for 155 years, denies the claims of it using 3D printed products in its food. And the guy that recorded this executive saying all these things was fired by Campbell. He thought that they would have his back after bringing this to their attention, but instead they fired him and now he's suing them. So not only do they have a lawsuit under their hands, they have a PR nightmare having to combat the idea that they're using bioengineered products within their soup. And all the poor people, as the executive mentioned, don't even want to buy their food anymore anyway.
If you're like most homemakers I know, you've got a cupboard full of Campbell soup. And when you've got a cupboard full of Campbell soup, you've got a cupboard full of recipes for great economy dishes. Like this tuna noodle bake. Campbell's cream of mushroom soup makes it smooth and flavorful. Campbell's kitchen-tested recipe makes it quick and easy. The best way I know to stretch my food budget is to reach into my cupboard for a can of Campbell's soup. Campbell's makes your cooking. Good.
So I make that video about lab-grown and 3D printed meat, what, 2 weeks ago? Then yesterday, a former employee of Campbell's Soup says the VP uses bioengineered meat and chicken from a 3D printer.
Miguel, those allegations are now at the center of a lawsuit claiming the company's vice president went on an hour-long tirade attacking the company's products and employees before taking aim at its customers.
And the former employee recorded it all. Eric Erickson shares that recording and what the company is saying about it.
Our products are food for poor people. Oh, and fun fact, did you know one of the former owners of Campbell's Soup was a chemist at MIT? But anyway, let me just remind you, there is no federal requirement for them to label lab-grown or 3D printed meat before they sell it to us. And like I said in the other video, the unsettling part about this whole thing for me is what they can add into this kind of meat. Oh, and then there's the major players behind this whole industry. I don't like any of it. Y'all stay safe.
Well, the ad for Campbell's back in the 70s or 80s, whenever that was made, definitely seemed like it was for families on a budget trying to stretch their dime to afford to be able to put food on the table. And guess what? He just wrecked it all. There are millions of people across the country, and of course it's all over social media because they have to document it, people taking the Campbell's out of their cupboards and throwing them in the trash. So let me ask you, would it be better to throw it in the trash or to put it in a soup kitchen? If you're not going to eat it for your family and feed it to your children, is that something that you'd want to donate to a local pantry for people that can't afford food to put into their children's stomachs? that raises kind of a question of morals, right? Because I have seen where some people were donating the food. And that's why I asked that question. Just something to think about. If you were highly incensed by the fact that that guy called us poor people who support his products and look down upon us, and then you take something that's subpar and hand it off to somebody at a soup kitchen or a pantry to allow the people that can't afford to buy their own food to have those items. Doesn't that seem sort of hypocritical? And the justification in the cases that I heard about were, well, I purchased it anyway. I paid for it, so somebody might get some use out of it. But that's not something you'd feed your kids. So what I would suggest if you're doing that is to at least, if you're going to bring those cans someplace like that, make sure that you label them. Please read the article that came out. Bioengineered food clearly is on the ingredients, yes, but I would absolutely follow that up with a Sharpie on maybe the can saying, this has fake printed meat in it. Do you still want to eat it? Maybe they could use it for their dogs, although me personally, I wouldn't give it to anybody or anything, but just maybe give that a little bit more thought if that's what you're doing with the food. Of course, my listeners are savvy and they probably aren't doing that anyway, but I have heard cases of this and it was sort of troublesome to me. In fact, it kind of uses the same rationale as this next clippy of liberals who are buying and returning ice scrapers from Home Depot to protest ice.
Pinheads. They bought ice scrapers so they could return them to try to shut down sales at Home Depot because of ice, because of, just watch.
What are you buying? An ice scraper. What are you buying?
We are buying ice scrapers.
All right.
Thank you.
What are you buying?
Attention, Home Depot shoppers. There will now be an 85% restocking fee on ice scrapers. You'd watch the place clear out. Make them fill out every little long form, too, to do the return deal. Every single one of them. These people literally have nothing better to do, and they think they're doing good. Bring back mental institutions. Get a hobby. Learn to fish. Spank your kids. Anything. Stop this generational madness.
That was from Watch Chat, and the next one from GF Beef, since we're on the topic of food, shows you how to make your own Oreos. Listen carefully to the ingredients that he's using.
Here's how to make Oreos from scratch exactly. At home, first, we're going to need glyphosate, a synthetic herbicide that we're going to spray on the wheat, the soy, the corn, and even the cacao pod. Then we're going to take this petroleum byproduct, guaiacol, and run it through glyoxylic acid, oxidation, decarboxylation, and just like that, we made artificial vanilla flavor. Now, to make our Oreo cream, we're going to crush some soybeans, wash the mash with hexane, a petroleum-derived solvent, heat it with a splash of water, and skim off the gummy middle layer.
That's our soy lecithin, basically to help make it smooth.
Now we're not done with this, whatever that is. We're gonna filter, refine, deodorize, and bleach, and we just made soybean oil. Then we're gonna add sugar, palm oil, soy lecithin, artificial vanilla flavor, and high fructose corn syrup that's great as a chip sweetener, but not so great for your liver. Give it a good whisk, fluff it up, and we just made our Oreo cream. Now to make our cookie, cocoa beans in the oven, remove the husk, a touch of potassium carbonate, and blend. Then we're gonna add sugar, palm oil, baking soda, artificial vanilla flavor, flour, synthetic vitamins, splash of water, and give it all a good mix. Flatten shape into cookies and in the oven at 375 for 20 minutes. Put it all together and that's Oreos. Send this to your friends who are addicted to Oreos and let me know, would you eat this crap?
The next clippy from Traffic Court Pro addresses the New York driver point system.
New York is overhauling the driver point system. They had these plans for a few years. Some of them have already gone into effect, in particular the unlicensed operator, which I talked about in my last video. But I want to go through some of the other point changes. Starting in 2026, the look back period that used to be 18 months is now going to be 24 months. So when they say that the points stay on your record for 18 months, even if that's not 100% correct, the new look back period is 24 months, so it's 2 years. They also are going to be lowering the threshold for suspension from 11 to 10 points, so now it's easier. Another thing to keep in mind is the speeds have gone up. So 10 miles over the limit was 3, now it's 4. Cell phones are going from 5 to 6 points. 30 yields, 3 to 5. And reckless driving is going from 5 to 8 points. Another interesting one is that equipment violations, which you can fix within 24 hours. If you don't do it, it's a point. So fix your stuff, like an out taillight, fix it within 24 hours. Otherwise, you are going to start adding points now. For when exactly the changes are going to go into effect, it's slated for February of 2026. It's supposed to coincide with when the DMV is planning to upgrade all of its computer systems. I will keep you posted as to when exactly it goes into effect. Knowing the DMV, it might not actually happen in February 2026, but that's when it's supposed to go into effect, all of these point changes.
My next two clippies from Miami's Brown Boy and Gen X Jono talk about the silly girls that we had in the introduction who can't add and think that immigrants should have rights over veterans. While my puppy snores in the background.
Protect illegal immigrants or protect homeless veterans?
Protect illegal immigrants.
Why?
I just feel like the veterans need to fend for themselves, and you know what? We need to save our illegal immigrants. You know what I mean?
But they're illegal immigrants.
Okay. They deserve everything that anyone else does, especially they deserve more than any veteran, in my opinion.
What is 34 plus 66?
It's 100. It's 100.
I need to. 34, 66. I need to.
You need to figure out that it's 100.
Like, do it on the paper.
All right, ask someone else.
I can't.
Ask anyone else.
34 plus 66?
Not her.
34 plus.
I had a feeling.
We don't move on until you give a guess.
Yeah, I might want to have a seat. I think we're going to be here a while.
Can I have a pen?
34 plus 66. 34 plus 66.
I'm really hard about that.
95? Yikes.
Dude, is this really a thing? Is this the result of Common Core? Dude, these are the people that are going to be guaranteeing our Social Security keeps coming in someday. Yeah, like that's ever going to happen. But anyway, seriously, Matt, no longer a thing. Okay, stop sending me these. I have enough to worry about.
I threw in a little Stupid Girls by Pink for you to jam to in between the clippies, and the next one is going to do a total 180. It's of a young girl who is pretty emotionally distraught. She's waking up. She claims to have been waking up for a while. She doesn't have everything right, like her views on 9/11, but you absolutely can feel and hear the pain and anguish in her voice as she starts to come to the realization that things just aren't the way that she and many others thought that it was. It definitely pulled on my heartstrings, and this is why we've been talking about on previous shows to be gentle with those who are waking up and show them compassion and empathy and try and support them and help them get through these tough times, because emotionally and mentally it can wreck some people, and we've talked about that before too. So this clip is from Real News Talk 24/7.
Try not to curse in this one. So I'm sitting here watching the Joe Rogan interview with Mike Benz, and I'm literally shaking. I'm so angry. And I'm left with so many more questions than I had to begin with. How long has this been going on for? How has it been going on since before my parents were born? Like, this is treason. The things that USAID has been doing is treason. How can you describe the things that USAID has been doing as anything less than treason? Like, the questions that I have now are, how much of it was real? How much of what we've been told by the mainstream news, who were being funded by USAID, how much of that was real? Did 9/11 get funded by USAID? I know that that sounds conspiratorial and weird, but like with everything that they're showing, it's really not. Like, did they fund the terrorists that took over the planes Like, the more that I learn, the more angry that I get. And I hate being emotional on here. I'm sorry. I don't mean to swear. I'm trying not to. I wasn't born and raised in the United States of America. The idea of what I thought the United States of America was is not real. It's not real. These people have perverted our country and our goodwill. They have extorted the American people in the name of humanitarian aid and essentially funded both sides of every conflict. This is overwhelming. I can't even grasp my thoughts. My mind is racing. It makes me think about all of the times that I have read and heard people say that the United States of America stopped being a country at a certain point and became a corporation. Like, is that true? Is my birth certificate and my social security card, is that just documentation? And I'm just chattel for the federal government? Like, this is insane. This is insane. And these politicians that are sitting here screaming about how Donald Trump is causing a constitutional crisis. What are you talking about? You people have literally gotten rich off of USAID. And just for anybody wondering, it's not about the money. It's not about the money. It's about the corruption. It's about the cost, the human lives that have been lost because of the money, the blood money that has been spent. They've been funding the Taliban. They've been funding Al-Qaeda. How is that not the tip of the spear of the military-industrial complex? Because you can't perpetually be in war if there's no enemies to fight. How many American lives have been lost in wars? I mean, I know, like, the thing about it is I've known for a long time. I've known for a long time that we've had deep-seated corruption in our government. But I guess hearing it and seeing it firsthand and having it confirmed is like, it's just a tidal wave of emotion and confusion and anxiety. And like I said, like, how deep does it go? I remember when I heard about Agenda 21, I was probably in my late 20s, and I thought, that's stupid, like, it's just a conspiracy theory, you know. I was one of those people who trusted the government and trusted that they are genuinely representing us, and they're corrupt. Yeah, some of them are corrupt, but, like, they're not that bad. This is the United States of America. We are a free country. We have freedom of speech. We have the Second Amendment. Like, we're a free nation. Woohoo, America. And then I find all of this out, and it's like, wow, Agenda 21 isn't that far-fetched. And I've been called crazy for so long. It's like when somebody calls you crazy and gaslights you for your entire life, basically, and then you find out that you weren't crazy. I want justice. I want every single person who had a hand in this corruption to be in prison. Every single one. I don't care if they're 100 years old. I don't care. They need to be in prison for the rest of their lives. These people are evil. They are evil. And this is treason. Donald Trump, please, God, please protect Donald Trump and Elon Musk. I pray every single day for those men, for everybody. Tulsi Gabbard, RFK Jr., Cash Patel, Pete Hegseth. I pray for Pam Bondi, and I pray for everybody in the Trump administration. Oh, and J.D. Vance. I don't want to forget J.D. Vance. We need this wrecking ball to absolutely destroy this corrupt machine that has been perverting our country. And I want every single person involved in handcuffs and behind a jail cell door. And that's what they deserve. You arrested the January 6th protesters for daring to walk into the Capitol building that they paid for, and you held them for years in prison on misdemeanor charges while you were literally pissing away our money, funding wars, funding corruption overseas, funding media to do hit pieces in other countries so that their people would lose trust in their own governments and their governments would be destabilized? Are you insane? Are you insane? This better be remedied. I'm going to tell you right now, this better be remedied. These people better, they better be held accountable. Because I'm so sick and tired of hearing that has happened and not seeing anybody be prosecuted for it. I want prosecutions. I want to see these people do the walk of shame and be put behind bars at the very least.
Does anybody else have like an aunt or uncle who taught them very unconventional things? Like, I had an uncle who just randomly decided to teach me how to set someone's house on fire through their dryer vent. I was a child.
The subsequent clip was a comedy clip, of course, by Hasix, to lighten up the energy a little bit, but we need to embrace these people, especially these young ones that are smart enough and are waking up, as opposed to the clips of the ignorant girl that I shared before that. This child is on the ball. She's realizing it. She's waking up. And with all of the societal pressures that these young guys, young children have to deal with to begin with, it can be very emotionally debilitating. I just want to grab her and hug her and help her to breathe and calm down and teach her how to do some relaxation exercises and how to pray and meditate and filter all of that anger. Because also, as we've talked about before, that's kind of gasoline to a match if you get the right sort of personality mix where once they awaken, they become so angry that they want to go off half-cocked and do something that could potentially be harmful, not only to themselves, but to others. We need to think clearly. We need to deal with these situations as peacefully as possible, and we need to protect ourselves and our families at the same time. So I'm a little over my time tonight. I'm already over the hour mark, but I want to share one more video for you tonight by Shaman Hawk discussing standards, because I think it's important to sort of round this segment out.
I think there's about 2.8 billion Muslims in the world, and about 500 million of them are extremists who would kill me just for eating bacon or talking out against them. That doesn't mean that I would do anything against them just because they are who they are. And the reason is because I want to hold myself to a standard that I could actually say I'm a civilized man. And out from that means that I would not want to support anybody, any group of people, government, country, doing stuff that I think is wrong in general. Israel. By the way, the definition of a war are two weaponized people fighting each other. If one weaponized group is exterminating another group that's unarmed, that's called genocide, ethnic cleansing, slaughtering. You know, there's a lot of words you could call that. And to me, that's just wrong if you want to hold yourself to be a civilized person. If we don't hold ourselves to standards personally, we cannot hold ourselves to standards collectively. We have a wonderful form of government. The problem with our government is enough people, citizens, are not actively involved in it. We don't need to rewrite our Constitution. Everybody needs to reread it. I keep saying in many videos, I'll never blame a politician for anything. We allow them to do what they do. So we basically, it's implied consent. Our silence is approval. People, if we can change the course of our government, I mean, almost overnight, if we actively acted like we wanted it to change. And this is one recommendation, I haven't had my coffee yet, you know, that I have is never elect anyone, ever. I don't care how good you think they are, because here Trump's back in, and all of them on their second term just do whatever they want. I remember Obama telling one Russian official, wait till his next term, yeah, I can be a little more flexible. Oh, you know what that means. Never reelect anyone again, because I'm still waiting for Mexico to build the wall and pay for it. The Ukraine war to be over in 24 hours, didn't he say that? And what was the other? Oh, yeah, and to release the Epstein pot. Well, all those things, all those problems will never happen. Don't elect anyone ever. That's the only control you have over this. And make yourself accountable for what you do and take responsibility for what you don't.
That's my show for tonight, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Please remember to click that like button and subscribe to the station. Follow my shows. The archives are all listed. And recommend me to your friends. Share. Please, if you couldn't. There's also the Positude podcast page on Facebook. Please like that and share that around. Also, listen to Peter Kling's new show, Revelations, on Thursday nights at 9, and also the Red Pill Reality Show on Saturday nights, and I think it's 10 if you're listening through the Trim Radio Network. Fish around on the websites, folks, whether you listen through ERRT or through Trim Radio. There may be some other shows that you might really like to listen to. I'm all over the place. I'm on YouTube, I'm on Rumble, a whole bunch of platforms, wherever you listen. Thank you so much for your support. I really am appreciative, especially during this season of being grateful and thankful. I want to thank each and every one of you again for supporting me. I hope you have a great week. We'll talk to you next time. Good night, cannolis.